This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Chelsea Manning, the whistleblower serving a 35-year sentence for leaking war logs to the public, is facing new charges while being held at a military prison in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Manning was in the news in early July when the Army revealed that she had attempted to commit suicide. Now, she's been told that she could face new charges related to the July 5th incident that include, quote, resisting the force cell move team, quote, prohibited property, and, quote, conduct which threatens. ACLU staff attorney Chase Strangio told the press the government has long been aware of Chelsea's distress associated with the denial of medical care related to her gender transition and yet delayed and denied the treatment recognized as necessary. Now, added Strangio, while Chelsea is suffering the darkest depression she has experienced since her arrest, the government is taking actions to punish her for that pain. Joining me today is Evan Greer. She is the campaign director with Fight for the Future, a group that has long advocated for Chelsea Manning's release. Welcome to the program, Evan.
Thanks for having me on, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, it was, of course, very distressing to hear that Chelsea Manning had attempted to take her own life. However, I understand that it was the military that revealed that this had happened, violating every standard of medical privacy that, you know, we're supposed to get as American citizens, right?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. The military, a military employee, released that information to a reporter from CNN, which was completely inappropriate, unethical, and in my opinion, very likely illegal. He or she released private medical information about Chelsea that led to a great deal of speculation in the press at a time when she was already incredibly vulnerable and certainly didn't need the entire public scrutinizing what was going on in her medical with her medical situation.
And now it's just sort of mind-blowing that the government is attempting to, their military is attempting to punish her for an act that only somebody who's clearly feeling depressed and desperate would attempt to do. I mean, tell us a little bit about some of these charges. She, I understand, related them to the ACLU because she wasn't actually able to get the document to them directly. What do some of these charges mean? Resisting the force cell move team, having prohibited property, and conduct which threatens.
So it's really important that people understand that these charges are directly related to her attempt to take her own life after years of systemic abuse and mistreatment at the hands of the U.S. government. They sound a little bit confusing, but I'll go through them one by one. Resisting the force cell move team is essentially a charge that gets thrown at any prisoner anytime that this team that comes to remove you from your cell is activated. So in Chelsea's case, it was because of the medical situation that she was in related to her attempt to take her own life. The prison called for this team to come remove her from her cell. She was unconscious when they arrived. So the wording about resisting is particularly egregious in this case. But essentially, you get charged with that anytime that that team is activated and brought to your cell, apparently even in an extreme situation like a suicide attempt. Now, the second charge is for around prohibited items. Basically says that anytime you use an item in the prison in a way that it was not originally intended for you to use, you are then in possession of a prohibited item. So this is directly related to the item that she did use in that incident where she did attempt to take her life. They're charging her with essentially using it in that manner. The third charge around conduct that threatens is perhaps the most upsetting and just absurd. They're basically claiming that by trying to take her own life in her cell, Chelsea put the rest of the prison at risk in some way. It's really just an absurd way for them to continue harassing her as they have been. And in my view, really just an extension of an ongoing campaign of harassment by the U.S. government in an attempt to silence her important voice as an advocate for government transparency and accountability.
Now, Evan, all of this is coming on top of the fact that last year the government tried to put her back into solitary confinement for, among other things, having an expired tube of toothpaste. And I know your organization was active in gathering signatures for a petition to lobby the government against that. Tell us about that. I mean, and when we look at what she's facing now in light of these earlier charges, there seems to be a little bit of a pattern, right?
That's absolutely correct. Chelsea faced indefinite solitary confinement for minor infractions, quote unquote, that included, as you said, an expired tube of toothpaste in her cell, possession of the Vanity Fair issue with Caitlyn Jenner on the cover, these totally frivolous and absurd charges for which she faced a very serious punishment. And it's very important that people understand that Chelsea has already been held in conditions that the United Nations considers to be torture. She was held in an extreme form of solitary confinement where she was not allowed to lie down. She had to sit straight up with her back straight up, essentially staring at a wall all day where her movements were restricted. These are the conditions that she has already been through. And for the government to be threatening her with additional punishment, again, where, you know, any extended period of time in solitary confinement is considered by experts to be torture, it's really, to me, feels like, this is a do or die moment where all of her supporters need to be coming out and speaking out, because it really seems like they are actively targeting and harassing her in an ongoing way, again, in an attempt to silence her voice, which we cannot let happen.
And so that solitary confinement that she was put through earlier lasted 9 months, which, you know, of course, there are prisoners all over the country that experience this, and many report, you just are never the same again. It's one of the worst forms of torture, because human beings are made to be social creatures, and to completely isolate somebody, of course, is a form of torture. Now, Evan, how important is the fact that she has been denied medical treatment related to her gender transition? I want to, first of all, actually, for a moment, just say that it's really important for us to, of course, respect Chelsea Manning's privacy. But because the personal is political in this case, where the government is trying to silence her and in many ways trying to torture her and punish her, it is important for us to talk about these issues so that there can be greater solidarity. But I think isn't this also an important aspect of it, one that Chase Strangio referred to in the quote that I read?
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, I think at this point, the military has basically prevented us from protecting Chelsea's privacy on this issue specifically, because we need to be actively advocating for her to get the care that she needs. She has had access to a therapist who's very important for her to see. That access has become more spotty recently in the immediate wake of her suicide attempt. That practitioner was not around at the prison for several days when Chelsea really would have needed that type of support. But more importantly, leading up to this, the government has been denying her the right to grow her hair to the length of her choice, despite the fact that medical experts say that would be the best thing to do for her, for her gender identity and feelings around it. And there's absolutely no justification for that. The government's justification is that it would put her in some kind of danger in the prison. That's completely absurd. Everyone in the prison that she's in knows that she is a transgender woman. She's very open about it. That is not an issue for her on a day-to-day basis. That is simply the government lying to continue this a position that's harming her. And I think it's particularly egregious given that the Obama administration has positioned itself as a friend to the LGBTQ community. And more recently, we saw the Department of Justice specifically kind of coming out in a big way around these anti-trans bills in North Carolina, et cetera, and trying to act as if they are a friend to us in the LGBTQ community. And here they're actively denying Chelsea Manning access to healthcare that she needs as a trans person in prison, essentially as part of their campaign to harass and abuse her. And I think that is a particularly egregious form of hypocrisy that should be pointed out.
Now, how important, Evan, is it for these latest charges to be recognized and opposed? I mean, what would Chelsea be facing if these charges go through and if she's found guilty of them?
So she is currently facing, once again, potentially indefinite solitary confinement for the remainder of her sentence. That's another 3 decades in solitary confinement. She's also facing an additional 9 years before she could be moved to a minimum security facility where she'd have greater access to, for example, a word processor to be able to type the articles that she writes for The Guardian and other basic rights that would enable her ability to be an advocate and a voice and do the work that she does. Furthermore, it could affect her chances at parole and have a variety of other ramifications for her during the remainder of her stay. But I think the most frightening piece of that, again, is that potentially indefinite solitary confinement for the remainder of her sentence, which is another 30 years.
Wow. So what can people do? I understand, of course, that one of the things that her lawyers are recommending is that people write to her.
Absolutely. Chelsea can still receive mail right now, and it's really important that she hears from people. Just a simple note, you know, there's no need to go really in depth. Just send her a note telling her that you're thinking about her, that you care about her as a human being, and that you want her, you know, to be treated fairly. That's what she needs to hear right now, just to know that people are thinking of her. But in addition, we need to be putting pressure on the Secretary of the Army, who is the official that essentially has the ability to make the decision around this. The last time, as you mentioned, that Chelsea faced these types of charges in prison, we were able to gather more than 100,000 signatures in a very short period of time, which we delivered to the Secretary of the Army. And it did seem like that had a major effect. You know, she was still convicted, quote unquote, of those charges, but the punishment that she received was fairly minor. She did not get any time in solitary confinement. And, you know, as she saw it, that was largely because of the public's response. So I think it's very important that everyone pays attention right now, but also signs the petition that we've set up at freechelsea.com and tweets at the Secretary of the Army, gets the word out. It's very important that they feel like people are paying attention to this. That's the only way that we can hold them accountable on this front.
That's freechelsea.com. We'll post a link to that from our website later today. I also have an address given to me by Chelsea's lawyers where people can send her mail, and we'll put that up on our screen for our TV audience. It's Chelsea E. Manning, the number 89289. So Chelsea E. Manning, 89289. 1300 North Warehouse Road, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. The zip code is 66027. And again, that's 1300 North Warehouse Road, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, 66027. We'll post that address to our website as well if you missed it. And Evan, I hope you'll indulge me. When I first read of Chelsea Manning's suicide attempt, it impacted me greatly. I've followed her case for a long time, and I felt like I had to write to her. And I want to share this letter that I wrote to Chelsea Manning with our audience in the hopes that it might inspire them to write to her, and with you as well. Dear Miss Manning, when a friend once asked me who I would love to interview more than anyone in the world, I immediately thought Chelsea Manning. We've assumed that you didn't need to hear how much you are admired and appreciated for your courage. And that was our mistake. I'm sorry I haven't written sooner. You do not know me, but I know of you. I know that you are a hero. You've risked every last thing in the service of the public. You are paying the dearest price for it. We need to do more for you. And I would like to start by saying thank you. Thank you. I have worked with Afghan women since 2000, doing solidarity work with the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan, or RAWA. And when 9/11 happened, RAWA and I despaired that the US was going to unleash its military might on poor, ordinary Afghans who had nothing to do with the terrorist attacks. We were right. The bombs rained down. Power was handed to brutal forces with a bloody history. US soldiers detained, tortured, oversaw the rebirth of the drug market, and so much more. You helped to shed light on these injustices. And I join Afghan women in seeing you as one of the greatest heroes in the fight for justice and against war. When I read about your suicide attempt, I felt devastated. I know you deeply value your privacy, but I felt torn. I wanted to cover on my program what had happened to you only because perhaps it was a measure of how we might all have let you down by failing to remind you that we are deeply grateful to you. But I was told at that time that you didn't want your lawyers to give interviews. So then I realized at the very least I could write to you, and I hope it will help for you to know that you are appreciated, admired, and yes, loved for your sacrifice, courage, and convictions. The world needs more Chelsea Mannings. The world needs Chelsea Manning. Love and solidarity, Sonali Kohatkar. And that's a letter that I wrote to Chelsea Manning in early July after I heard about her suicide attempt. Again, we'll post the address to her where you can write letters yourself if you think that that's something you want to do, if you consider her a hero. Evan Greer, in times like this, how important is it also not just for Chelsea to hear from people, but also for her to have an outlet to speak out? You mentioned she's a Guardian newspaper columnist. She's also really active on Twitter.
That's correct. And it is very important. And, you know, one thing that we'll need to be concerned about and aware of is just that that is not one of the ways that the prison attempts to retaliate against her for bringing these egregious abuses to our attention. So all of her supporters should be just paying attention and make sure that she maintains that ability to make those phone calls that she needs to in order to access the outside world. And we're going to be very concerned about that. I'm unfortunately running out of time, but I really appreciate you having me on. And again, I really encourage everyone to go to freechelsea.com and sign and share that petition. That's kind of the single, simplest, easiest thing you can do right now to support her, to make sure that she does not face further solitary confinement after these charges.
That's freechelsea.com. Evan Greer is the campaign director of Fight for Our Future, an organization that has advocated for Chelsea Manning's freedom. Thank you so much, Evan.
Thanks for having me on. Have a good day.
This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.